From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, August 4th. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri lakes need nearby wetlands to be healthy and free of pollutants and algae. A state conservation program, though, is bringing the wetlands to the lake.
They're designed to allow wetlands to be built on top of surface water, things like that.
We'll visit some floating wetlands in Rolla, coming up after this news on The Gateway. It's primary election day in Missouri, and polls are now open. Voters will decide whether to eliminate the state's income tax and give lawmakers the power to raise sales taxes to make up for lost revenue. They'll also weigh in on a measure that would make it harder to amend the state constitution using the initiative petition process. In the St. Louis area, all eyes are on the 1st Congressional District. Cori Bush is seeking to knock off Wesley Bell, who unseated her in 2024. Voters will also select party nominees for the Missouri legislature and most countywide offices. Polls close at 7 p.m. As a reminder, St. Louis City and County voters can go to any polling place convenient for them today. St. Charles County voters, you'll need to look up your designated polling place if you're casting a ballot today. Wherever you're voting in Missouri, don't forget your ID. You can find information about many of the races in our voter's guide at stlpr.org. I'll be in the newsroom early to put together the key results for tomorrow's episode of The Gateway. I hope my colleagues save me some election night pizza. A federal judge in Springfield has rejected President Trump's attempt to gain unfettered access to Illinois voter rolls, Mawa Iqbal reports.
It's the 19th ruling against lawsuits filed across the country by the Trump administration over the past year. The Department of Justice has argued that in order to preserve election integrity, the federal government needs voter-sensitive information. But downstate Judge Colleen Lawless wrote in her opinion the DOJ's request does not relate to any suspected voter fraud. In a statement, State Attorney General Kwame Raoul says the lawsuit is part of Trump's efforts to, quote, undermine and sow doubt in U.S. elections. Raoul launched another lawsuit against the Trump administration last month for threatening to withhold federal emergency dollars unless Illinois handed over voter data. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Missouri has now reported more than 1,000 cases of cyclosporiasis. That's a foodborne illness that spread across the country this summer. The 1,095 cases reported Sunday by Missouri health officials are more than double last week's total and far above the state's annual average of about a dozen cases. Health officials say as the outbreak continues to spread, numbers may be delayed because it takes about a week for symptoms to start. They also say increased awareness and testing have contributed to the rise in case counts. Federal agencies have linked the nationwide outbreak to lettuce from the company Taylor Farms, which has recalled its bagged iceberg lettuce sourced from central Mexico. The Missouri Department of Transportation says it plans to close lanes along Route 367 in North St. Louis County for a year, starting tomorrow. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley reports it's in an attempt to make the road less dangerous.
At least 29 people have died in car accidents along Route 367, also known as Lewis and Clark Boulevard, since 2018. In an effort to minimize crashes, transportation leaders say traffic will be temporarily limited to one lane in each direction between Interstate 270 and Comet Drive. Tabitha Locke is an engineer with MoDOT.
Speed data actually collected in May showed that there is excessive speeding all times of the day, with many vehicles going 20 miles per hour or more over the posted speed limit.
Officials say the temporary lane closures will give them time to gather insight before starting construction on its $10 million safety improvement plan in summer 2027. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Grand Center event that highlights local music is returning this fall. As STLPR's Chad Davis reports, Free for All festival organizers say this year will come with a few changes, including a new date.
This year's showcase will take place November 6th through November 8th. The festival gathers about 100 local artists of many genres to perform short sets at venues throughout Grand Center. Festival goers are encouraged to hop from venue to venue to catch new acts. It launched last September. Co-founder and co-organizer Joseph Hess says the new date frees them from conflicting concerts and festivals. He also says it allows them to celebrate the year in music.
We want to provide this maybe last hurrah for local music before the end of the year and before the holiday-themed events take over.
Organizers expect to start rolling out the lineup in early September. Submissions for artists close August 11th at 11:59 p.m. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Lakes and ponds are great places for recreation and enjoying nature, but in more urban areas, they lack nearby wetlands that can keep them healthy. As STLPR's Jonathan All reports, Rolla is the latest place in Missouri to adopt a perhaps surprisingly cheap and easy way to remedy this, by bringing the wetlands to the water.
Burwan Lake is 2.5 acres in the middle of Rolla's Burwan Park. It's pretty urban, as much as anything can be in a town of 20,000. It's surrounded by an outdoor pool blasting music for families escaping the summer heat. And there almost always seems to be a lawnmower on adjacent ball fields. Still, this little oasis has a fair amount of nature in and around it. But lately, it needed some help.
This time last year, it was completely green out here.
That's Andy Smith, recreation manager with Rolla's Parks Department. He says every year the lake would be choked off with algae and other unpleasant stuff that comes from a body of water mostly fed by stormwater runoff. So Rolla is partnering with the State Department of Conservation on a cheap and easy way to naturally clean up the lake.
Each of these on one of those carabiners.
Two conservation employees are doing some maintenance on a floating wetland. It's a tiny island of rubber-coated foam about 6 feet in diameter, covered in a collection of native plants. They float in the middle of the lake, anchored like a buoy. It's porous, so the roots of the plants grow through it and into the lake. Blake Frederick is a fisheries biologist with the department.
They're designed to allow wetlands to be built on top of surface water, things like that, for trapping nutrients, controlling phosphorus, nitrogen, things like that in systems, while offering native pollinator habitat and habitat for birds and other things like that out on what would be considered just open flat water.
It costs about $3,000 to get one of these floating wetlands into operation, and pretty minimal maintenance after they're established. Burwan Lake has 3 of them this summer, with 3 more set to be put out next year, and a final trio in 2028. That number came from some pretty serious data. Frederick says scientists at Missouri University of Science and Technology ran tests and a pilot program to figure out exactly how many were needed to clean up the lake.
You need to get a lake to about 0.2% coverage in floating wetlands to see a drastic reduce in nutrient load in these lakes.
So that doesn't sound like a lot. How can these few little floaty things do that much good?
Because their roots are not limited by soil, these roots can grow to be 5, 6, 7 feet long once these plants get established, and they can grow up really high. From our estimates, about 250 square foot of these floating wetlands is equal to 1 actual acre of native wetland left in the wild.
The low cost and natural solutions don't stop there. A problem floating wetlands face is geese think they're a pretty cool place to land, eat, and nest, and that kills the plants. Conservation fisheries biologist Nick Lamy says the answer was a bunch of twigs.
We actually place sticks on top of them because they do not like uneven surfaces on their feet. It's pretty hard to build nests, to walk around. It's just uncomfortable, kind of like us stepping on Legos in the morning that kids leave out, you know.
The floating wetlands are working in Rolla. The city hasn't had to do its usual chemical treatments to reduce algae. Andy Smith with the Parks Department says the goal is to have a healthier lake that also attracts people to use the park. That's hard to do when it's full with green muck.
These are clearing it up and kind of cutting away all that, and I've noticed a lot more people down here fishing this summer and just kind of being around the lake.
Fisheries biologist Frederick agrees. He's based in Rolla.
They want to see these lakes nice and fishable and enjoy them. I love bringing my own daughter down here to catch fish. That's what we did for Father's Day this year. We came down here and she was catching little 4-inch bluegill and had an absolute blast.
The floating wetland project from the Missouri Department of Conservation is about 5 years old. The agency has placed dozens of floating wetlands in state-owned lakes and works with cities like Rolla. It also provides advice to private property owners who may want to put floating wetlands in their own lakes and ponds. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Rebecca Thiel edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Our theme music's by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. Earlier, you heard a little bit of Lindy Slopper, who performed at last year's Free For All Festival. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.